Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's wrong.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome back to Action Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Ricky on the board. SP Futures up 13. NASDAQ Futures up 117 as we're back on our march to the moon here. I mean, the script is the job numbers aren't going to be too good. Super more pressure on the Fed. They start lowering rates, money back in the system, and everything goes up. That appears to be our shtick, and it is going up. I find it really difficult, but that would just be me. Do we have Professor Carl?
Well, Carl is online, but
yeah, me too. And we also have Professor Kevin.
Yeah, you got us both.
Yep. Well, good. I have a headline here. I'm glad it's over. Google CEO thanks Trump for antitrust resolution.
Can we just declare open season
on everybody here?
Normally, I would have a list of, for example, after what we saw yesterday, this fiasco with the Senate attempting to grill RFK, rather than become supine or, just drop his drawers and bend over the hearing room table and let him have turns, he instead essentially nuked these people that were in the hearing room. And one of the things that he pointed out was that he was asked directly, well, have you called the CDC, the most corrupt agency? And he said, well, no, that's not what I said. But I did say it was the most corrupt agency within Health and Human Services. And then, of course, are we really going to get you now? And he says, now, wait a minute. Back 20 years ago, the CDC had a small study with black boys, two cohorts, equally matched, one of which got the MMR vaccine on the schedule, on the official published schedule, and the other one got it, but got it off the schedule later on. And there was a very high p-value 0.01, very significant difference, like a 400% difference in significant adverse events. The CDC ordered the data, not just the results, the data destroyed.
Well, that's not corrupt.
Jeez, oh, no.
Carl, you have to understand, that's just science.
Oh, yeah. So, but he laid that on the table in the hearing room. And so, people are like, oh, this was just a COVID thing. No, it was not just a COVID thing. There's that. Then you have this Google thing, which you want to talk about something that pisses me off. By the way, here's another example of this BS that goes on between companies in the tech space. Google just came out with their latest Pixel series of phones, okay, the Pixel 10s. From all appearances, very nice devices. It fixes a number of things that have been kind of wonky especially with wireless charging, which has been a sore point with them for a long time. And that's sort of important because if the charge port on your phone wears out, you now have a brick. You can't charge it. That's bad. All right. So being able to do that wirelessly, even though it's less efficient, it's slower. If you have a little, a little stand on your desk or whatever, 90% of the time you don't need to plug it in. So that is actually a life-extending piece of technology that has shown up in these things. But at the same time they did this, they took the SIM slot out of the phones. So now you have to use electronic SIMs, which all the major carriers in the United States do support. The problem is this. Guess who started that? Guess who started taking that slot out of there?
No idea.
Apple.
All right.
They took them out of only in U.S. series phones. So if you buy one in Europe or in Asia, it still has the slot. They took them out of the U.S. series phones. This is something that the carriers love because it prevents... Let's say that you have your phone with you, you're out in the middle of BF nowhere, it fails. It just breaks. You could go anywhere, buy one that is compatible with those bands, take your card out of the one you have, put it in the new one, everything works, you're back in service. Now, you can't do that. You have to contact the carrier, and they have to transfer it. They may charge you for this, and there's nothing you can do about it if they do. And furthermore, the really serious problem with it is, what happens if you're somewhere where your phone's the only thing that has connectivity?
Well, my whole problem with all this, with some of the stuff that you, and to a certain extent, a lot of people, we never take it to the next level. I love Kevin's opinion on this. People don't get corrupt for a reason, or for no reason. Let's give you a quick example. In my little world back in the 90s, when I was on the board of the CBOE, all kinds of little stuff used to happen. In terms of maybe lack of enforcement, maybe stuff, because some firms were on a lot of committees. Some firms were very important to the CBOE. Whenever anything happened, maybe once in a while, very rare, somebody inside would be caught doing something. These people, and my issue with RFK is not what he's doing. It's like anything else. It's how you do it. And they come out and accuse all these people of the CDC to be corrupt in whatever this test was. And by the way, I'm sure as hell not going to argue with it. That's what the deal was. Those people didn't walk in there that day and say, we're going to rig this test. It benefits somebody, and probably not even them. Who's the somebody and who's getting the benefits?
Well, how about the largest recipient of lobbying?
Okay, but why are people giving people money to lobby? Why are the drug companies...
Because they're getting what they want, Chief. Okay. Which is the ability.
All right, what I'm saying is...
making money, and they don't care if they screw
you. I get that part. But it never gets there. RFK never is going to name Trump's biggest benefactor, if it happens to be, as the real crook. He's never going to do that.
Well, he did that in the hearings. He would start... infuriates the senators when he does it. But he goes ahead and he cites how much money that they've received, each one of
but
them.
But he's going to accuse them. He's not going to accuse the presidency. He's not going to accuse anybody else.
Where's Trump's... wait a minute now.
I'm not just talking about the presidency in general. They don't know this is going on?
Well, okay. So I wrote an extremely toxic column on this because I was sitting there listening to the hearing.
When you say this, be aware... in the last 32 years, we've had 16 years of Dems, 16 years of Republicans.
Chief, I absolutely, which was the exact point of the column. By the way, what RFK tried to, and by the Senate, the reason the Senate was so incensed is that the answer to this problem, of course, nobody brought up the answer to this problem. The answer to this problem is that these acts that take place within the medical and pharmaceutical system, all of them are felonies and have been for 100 years, 100 plus years. So throw them in prison.
Okay.
Guess what? The executive runs the DOJ. That's the president.
Okay, I'm saying, but connect the dots. I mean, by the way...
I just did.
No, I'm... Boy, it's hard to agree with people on the show. And what I'm saying is, we know the Senate is getting stuff in their pocket. So are the reps. And oh, by the way... for the people who say they want term limits, the drug companies are now stuffing stuff in the pockets of state people thinking they might be senators someday. So,
right.
So it's all the way down the chain. So, but how exactly does the influence get from Senator Schmuckhead gets $20,000 for his campaign, How does that get to the CDC on a particular drug? How does it get there? Because I don't think this guy in the CDC is pocketing anything, is he? Or is
no,
he?
But what he's doing is after he leaves the CDC, he goes and he works for Pfizer.
Okay, so, but I mean, he goes to work. I get that part. But I'm saying, how does the money go into a senator when we see how much eunuchs they can be? How do they get to to where some drugs approved that shouldn't be? I'm just trying to figure out this how it gets. I mean, when I'm saying this, I mean, I'm always talking about another subject. That's my brain is going goofy. That's why, you know, Madigan's in jail, but my electric bill's up and it's not coming down. I mean, I'm always about connecting the dots monetarily. How does?
Well, yeah, it's the same nonsense that you have in virtually every area of the economy. Okay, the problem you have at this point, right? Chief, I think I've related this before on the show. It was, you know, 10-plus years ago. I managed to get, courtesy of someone who was a friend of mine and wanted to argue a different point, but it was, you know, after the GFC, after the big crash, got a short audience with a bunch of Senate staffers. Now, it wasn't the actual senators, it was their chiefs of staff.
Right.
Okay, so I, you know, drive up to D.C. and, you know, plop my butt in a hotel for the night and, you know, put on the suit and go do this.
You had one?
Well, I have several.
All right.
And
they
so
still fit. That's good.
Well, you know, after I lost all that weight, I had to buy all new ones. So I don't have any more Hickey Freemans that fit because I gave those away.
So you're, Carl, what you're saying is your suits are in style as of when you lost weight.
Well, you know, it is what it is, right?
You don't have the ones now.
Kevin, I don't need them that often anymore. So, you know, there's no point in buying $4,000 suits.
You're not going to go on TV with the one where the button is tight right across the middle of your gut and you can see the shirt top and bottom. That's the style now?
No. So he gets his few minutes, and then, you know, then I get mine. Now the deal was we were supposed to get about 20 minutes between the two of us, and you know, that's the way those kinds of things work. You know, you get your short period of time to lay out your case, so you better be prepared. And I laid out essentially what I had put forward in the long article that I wrote, you know, around that period of time, and was also an expansion of what was in Leverage on. Okay, here's where the corruption lies. These things are illegal. They've been illegal for 100 years. If you fix them, the cost of medical care comes down by 80%. And oh, by the way, yes, I understand that means that there would be a very deep and sharp recession because 80% of the people who are currently employed but are not doctors and nurses would lose their jobs. Okay, duh. And so I understand there's a cost to this. Every single one of these aides went around the table and said, none of the senators are ever going to do any of that. And the reason is they'll lose the next election.
Okay, I'm still going
well,
back.
Chief, you just got to, that's the answer.
I guess what I'm saying is, how does it progress? I mean, when one of the greatest lines I ever heard was William Kennedy and the dropping the atomic bomb. He said, you know, events were in the saddle and they drove the men hard. Which is
yeah, but here's all right. So one of the points I've made many times on this show, the way these scams get to where they are, the way they progress, the entire gambit from both sides of the aisle, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, the gambit that you run, the gambit Obama ran with DACA, the gambit that Biden ran with all the illegals, the gambit that Bush ran after 9/11, okay, with the monstrous expansion of the surveillance state.
And a lot of people making a lot of money doing the surveillance.
Absolutely. The gambit you run and what we have become in this country, the reason that, I mean, I'm looking at the market right now, I'm like, you're telling me that a weakening job market and rising inflation pressures is good for stocks?
Well, sure it is. It was good in the Weimar Republic when you poured money in.
Well, yeah, okay. And it was horrible for everybody else. And oh, by the way, this funny Austrian painter showed up as a result of that crap. All right. That was bad. So, but here we are. And the gambit is always the same. It's the same playbook.
Okay.
And it is do something large enough and outrageous enough.
Let's let Kevin try and answer my, if there is an answer. My original question. Let's take the COVID stuff as an example. I'm trying to get to the momentum of this. Everybody wanted a vaccine. Fauci, blah, 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 whatever. People were dying for a vaccine for whatever reason. And if they'd come up with a measles vaccine that would actually work, which I think probably never could have worked, like you said a million times, but if somebody did, everybody was happy. So somewhere along the line, I think Trump's group came up with a pretty darn good idea. We're going to sort of fund seven companies. This is before you guys talked me into that there never was a chance at a vaccine in the first place. But along the way, I guess I drank the Kool-Aid for a half hour, and maybe there would be one. So we got seven companies getting all this dough. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, they either got money for research, or each company was able to purchase 20 million, was it 20 million or 10 million doses in advance, just in case your thing worked. All right, so what I'm saying now is the snowball is now starting at the top of the mountain, and it's coming downhill pretty fast. And now all of a sudden, I'm going to guess, Carl, that the companies that got that money had lobbyists up the ass of everybody. Just a guess. Okay, so now there's seven companies doing this. Everybody's dying for this thing to actually work. The three of us, by the way, I think we were on together, the three of us went through the tests in Brazil and the one in Portugal or Spain, and we said they're horseshit, all three of us. I mean, it wasn't just you, Carl, it was all of us. What kind of tests are these? I mean, they're nuts. They had nothing to do with whether one you could infect somebody with another thing or not. Anyway, they sucked. So, but now the momentum is such that these things get approved. They start poking people. They start poking kids. And from the get-go, pretty much everybody who read the stuff from Europe and from Asia thought it was a pretty bad idea. Now, but there's a momentum here. There's money flying all over the damn place. My only concern is to pick some lady up at the CDC and say, you're a friggin' crook and you're fired, I bet she never got a dime. Who's she?
Well, first of all, there's a number of, you know, different kinds of players in the system. So if you take the example of vaccines, the pharma companies have been trying to come up with some use for mRNA technology. They have this technology. They've been trying to fit it to some kind of use with no success. And so all of a sudden they see the opportunity, and Fauci's got a stake in this, you know, as an example of one person who's got a real financial stake in this, through some of the patent rights and, you know, things that the CDC owns. So they'd like to make it work, but they're driving it into that one direction and to the exclusion of all others, because they really, really, really want to get their investment recouped somehow in this technology.
Well, Fauci was more than an employee of CDC. He was kind of a half-assed innovator in his own mind or something else. So he's kind of, do you think he's a special case? I do, but go ahead.
Well, he also had an interest, you know, a different interest in how this unfolded, and that was covering his own ass for his role in gain-of-function research. He had that piece as well. But you also get a lot of other players who are just immersed. Excuse me a second. They're immersed in the system, and they think that they're doing some good. It's a really warped perspective, but there's a lot of people in there that think they're doing some good, even though they're totally corrupted by the way things work. We have had this conversation when it comes to college athletics, as an example, we've all along had this totally corrupt system that is just trying to fit minor league sports into an educational model. And a lot of people who will get in, you know, they'll go on TV and they'll talk about what a wonderful experience. And even, I want you to back this up 10, 15 years, not even with the current state of affairs, which is just, you know, slipped away from them. And they tell you how wonderful the college experience was for these athletes, even though in so many cases it wasn't. We learned about that with the North Carolina academic scandals, as an example. They didn't get any benefit from the educational aspect of it at all. They were beholden instead to just trying to keep them eligible. And you get, you know, Vitale would have been a good example of a guy who would just sit there and he would tell you what a wonderful system it is, how great it is for the athletes.
But,
how we
but Kevin, we in our day, in our day, so previous so, century, it was okay. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, we didn't have the typical experience where we were. I don't think.
I remember Dave Casper in class with me every day.
Yeah, well, I get that. And that's why I said that wasn't typical, though. That wasn't typical at the time. I knew too many athletes who went to other places that
okay.
That would have told you that that was just not necessary. So you know, don't use one example of somebody who tried to be at least you know as clean as you could probably be in that system. So you have all these proponents of it, and they don't smell anything around. They don't smell the poop around them. They just think. And we see it in other areas. You know, how long did we watch people, you know, person after person tell us about all the good that the Clinton Foundation did? When they didn't do a damn thing.
We never believed any of that.
Yeah, but there's a whole lot of people who did, and they were writing checks.
They probably gave some money to some place that was decent. I mean, I'm sure they couldn't fart on all of them. They must have given some money for a water project someplace that actually needed it, you would hope, just by random chance.
What I'm telling you is that there are a lot of people who are they're corrupted in a different way. You know, of course you have, you know, politicians who've accepted a lot of money from the system. You have news organizations who'd collapse if they didn't have the advertising money. So they're going to report it a certain way. They're not going to step on any toes. You have a lot going on all at once, and different players with different motivations that all get to the same place, and that's what it looks like to me.
Well, I'm saying to go back to my own personal. For somebody to come down on some of the employees of the CBOE and say, you guys are all fired and your name's on the Wall Street Journal because you didn't come down hard enough on Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs, Kevin, that would have been so damn unfair. It was scary. I mean, they didn't create the winds from Vichy, as they said in Casablanca. What did Claude Rains say? I go with the prevailing wind and they're from Vichy? I mean, how does... If the three of us, can you imagine, the three musketeers, if they plunked our asses over in the CDC, how exactly would we act differently and say, wait a minute, the three of us, we don't like the tests on these COVID vaccines, whatever in the world's telling you they work, even though they don't, and I mean, we're not making enough. What are we making, 80 grand a year? And what are we doing? You know, that's my whole point. I'm not arguing with you guys at all. I'm just saying. How do you stop that from happening?
Well, I don't know that you do, but that and you know, are they the ones that you single out? Not necessarily, but we are also not talking about very low level people. I'm not sure which firing you you find objectionable.
Well, I'm saying that I don't know, but it's the one lady who resigned or did something, and all the people, or the few people under her, quit. And their attitude must be, gee, she, if anything's wrong, she didn't do it.
Well, now except she did, because there was just a second scandal related to this with the RSV antibody shot that has been being given to newborn infants. There was data in that study that showed a 400% higher risk of seizures temporally associated with the shot. In other words, right after you got it, right after the kid got it. The CDC buried that, redacted it in the data that was given to the advisory panel, and therefore the advisory panel voted to approve it because they didn't have the information.
All right.
And then she signed the approval, and she put her personal name on it. Now that was absolutely her, and that's why she got fired.
Okay, I keep going back. Maybe it must be the police guy in my blood from my dad or something. I'm gonna say no. I don't know this lady from Adam. I don't know if she's good, bad, or whatever she is. But if it were me, I'd like to sit down and say, you know what, my buddy Carl says that this thing was here, and somehow you bagged it. Why did you do that, or did you do it, or did you know about it? Rather than this, all this stuff being going back and forth from the press, wouldn't the three of us like to sit her down and say, Why did you do this? Well, somebody told me to. Who the hell's the somebody?
Oh, okay, guess what? If you're the chief of police, and your people are doing corrupt things, and you're not paying attention to this, and you're not stomping on it, and it's your job to do it, then you get fired.
But somebody,
what's the problem with that?
I'm talking about this. Somebody didn't go there with the intention of shoving some bad test under so people get hurt. How did that pop to the top?
I'll tell you how it pops to the top. If it goes on the childhood schedule, you're immune from being sued.
If you can find that this lady took, you know, $50,000 for this, before I sent her to jail, I'd send her to a nun with a paddle, for God's sake. You know where I am on this. I'm right with you guys. But somehow or another, the dots don't match to me. That's all I'm saying.
You said a minute ago that, you know, they should have sat her down and asked her why. Do you know that that didn't happen? Why are you assuming that didn't happen?
Because it seems like on both sides...
It seems like is not evidence. What evidence do you have that that didn't happen?
Do you think the people in charge now act rationally before they go for their ex or whatever the hell they're using? I think they don't. That's my feel. I don't know that Kennedy did. Maybe she just clammed up. Maybe she wouldn't tell him. But I mean, somewhere along the line, he needs to say that.
Well, let's not make that assumption.
But okay, can't somebody write something out? Can't somebody go and give a specific sort of thing and say, by the way, this particular drug is made by X company. X company paid off Kevin O'Neill and Carl Denninger, and somehow they got to this lady, and she got $20,000, and something that said it didn't work got buried. And by the way, we're going after this company. We're firing this lady. We're gonna bring up on charges, and we're gonna go to X firm, and we're gonna do something to them too. Because there's got to be four people involved here, right? The company, somebody who's the influencer, somebody who's the influencee is all I'm saying.
Well, there's...
And yet, when they lay out the same case for immigration, you don't like that either.
What are you talking about?
Deportations.
What's one?
You don't like that one either.
All I said is not what you do, is how you do it.
Well, I don't know. You know, one of the charges, Chief, that you've made several times is that this stuff's all focused in blue states. Well, guess what? The Hyundai plant in Georgia just got raided. And that, if I recall correctly, is a red state. And a whole bunch of illegals were picked up and are being thrown out of the country.
Okay, and you know that how? That they're all illegals and everything. There's either people who believe these people and people that don't. I don't believe a word they say.
Well, so you're telling me that you don't think that all these people that were working there and got raided, you think they're citizens?
I didn't say they were citizens. I said, were they here illegally? Do they have
well, guess what? So you think they're all green card holders?
I don't know. Are they?
Well, the evidence is that they're not.
Well, no, you read their justification for raiding this plant.
Okay, yes.
Okay, well,
All I know is that I have, you know, what I see going on around me, all right, there was just a set of raids down in Florida in my old, my old stomping grounds. Same sort of deal, except there it was actually the Florida State guys. It wasn't the feds.
Maybe they were here on a student visa and jumped off the student visa and got a job, and maybe in one of these days their corporation's going to give them a $1 trillion bonus like Musk.
Well, and maybe it, as occurred in Florida, they made these stops, and 50% of the people they found were criminals, actual criminals, including a bunch of them that were felons in possession of firearms, in addition to being...
But you don't know how they planned those raids, who they zeroed in on. Was it some bar they all hung out at? Are we talking...
Well, you know what? But that's called police work. You try to figure out where the bad guys are and go bust them.
I'm just so happy he's... What does this got to do with the Center of Disease Control? I'm saying I don't want senators getting money, influence bureaucratic people, but I've seen it happen. CBOE.
It's exactly the same thing that goes on with the illegal employment. Okay, it is precisely the same path. You flood the zone with enough corruption that if anybody tries to touch it, the argument is that there'll be a recession and it will be economically disastrous.
The simple fact is, a lot of these industries couldn't exist without these people.
Oh, that's BS.
Okay.
You have 110. Look, we're about to get a labor report that's going to tell us that there's 100 million people not in labor force. Again.
Okay.
Now, how many of these people do you think are in the United States?
So when I go to the Home Depot and I see 10 Hispanic guys on one side of the driveway, I should see 10 white guys on the other side and 10 black guys up top, and they all should be fighting for the spot. But guess what? I don't.
Well, guess why you don't?
Why?
Because the 10 black guys and the 10 white guys can sit there and get an EBT card, all they got, and the Hispanic guy can't. So therefore, guess where he goes? Now, take that garbage out of the system, and guess who's going to be at the Home Depot, because he'd rather work than starve.
Well, if you guys are maybe a little more like traders, if we see this happening at the CDC, and the three of us are sitting at in the Merck headquarters, first thing we're saying is, okay, what's the workaround? Who do we have to pay now to get our stuff through? It's not like it's going to end.
So what you're basically saying is, tough crap, chew harder.
No,
I'm sorry.
Unless somebody has the balls to walk up the chain, which we clearly don't.
Well, we the people are the ones who, look, it's 300-1 if we decide that we've had enough of this.
Trumpy's been there for 8 months. I haven't seen boo against a prescription drug or anything in medical stuff, and that's what you're always talking about.
You know what? I also, and you know, as I just pointed out, they just raided this, you know, this plant, right, in Georgia, right, busted a whole bunch of illegals. Excuse me, where's the 8 U.S.C. 1324 charge? How come the executives that worked at that plant were not hauled off in chains because they absolutely...
Are you saying these guys did not have any Social Security? They're all getting paid cash?
Well, they obviously were operating on some kind of a fraudulent scheme. Now, there's no way on God's green earth that the management did not know that was going on.
And
you know what? Let them argue that they were innocent victims in court.
Right,
arrest them, okay, and indict them.
How many people do you think are around that have been here forever, have a Social Security card, have a bank account, have a job, people pay them by a check, they have a bank? What am I supposed to do, check their papers like Nazi Germany?
You're supposed to put it through eVerify, and by the way, that is available.
I'm supposed to check if my cleaning lady is a citizen. That's my job now?
Yeah, it actually is,
Come on.
It is your requirement if you independently hire your cleaning lady.
That's
if
right.
If you hire a service who sends a cleaning lady, it's that service's job.
Chief.
So we're all policemen, except
Chief,
a policeman.
Look, my daughter, when she first went and got a real job, her first real job as a kid, okay? When she's 15, she can legally work during certain hours, all right? The very first job she got, she had to present a birth certificate and a Social Security card.
I never did.
When she filled out the I-9. Well, I know. You know what? Neither did I. When I got my first job washing cars, my first real one, I don't count caddying at the golf course.
Why not? What if you caddied for Mike Ditka?
Okay, well, guess what? Before that, I carried golf bags for rich people. Okay,
yeah.
But then I got a job at a golf
course. I can't imagine you as a caddy.
Well, guess what? I was a caddy.
Were you one of the guys who kicks the ball out behind the tree for the guy?
We won't talk about that. That depends on that. You know what? Hey, listen, for a tip, because the actual fee, which you actually got for carrying a bag, wasn't very much, right? I mean, and then, of course, we all knew who the people were that tipped reasonably and the people that would, you know, they would buy you a Coke at the turn and that was all you got out of them. And so, I mean, there was that, too. But when I got my first job, I still had to have a Social Security card.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so I had to fill out the paperwork and, you know, because I had to have the number, right? But I wasn't asked for, you know, for all this stuff. We don't live in that world anymore. We haven't lived in that world for a long time. When my daughter got her first job, she had, washing dishes, for Christ's sakes, at a restaurant, she had to produce a birth certificate copy.
Well, why aren't we tossing Leon Musk or Elon Musk?
Well, hey, listen, I want to.
Musk is in the country illegally.
He was.
He originally overstayed his visa. Yes, he did.
And every time, and when he went out to get his citizen application, he had to lie on it.
He lied about it, right?
Oh yeah, then toss him. Go ahead.
But I mean, I don't think
revoke it and throw him out.
These are I'm not the same level where all these people are now my enemies like you guys. I mean, I just a lot of people. My grandfather ditched his uncle here, and he was here 25 years.
Who am I declaring an enemy?
You're saying anybody who's here illegally should be tossed out. That's pretty brutal for somebody who you like.
So it's okay as long as what I steal is diffuse and it doesn't directly impact you.
I didn't say that. What I'm saying
is... Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I said you... I didn't... This reminds me of a... Well, whatever, I won't say it. But the idea that everybody has to be looking around to check everybody's papers, it sounds like 1933 in another country.
You know what? I have had every single time that I cross a border, all right, hell, even back before 9/11, when you just had to have a driver's license to go into Canada, every single time I did that, guess what? I went on a business trip to Japan. When I came back in, papers, please. And oh, by the way, when you know since 9/11, thank you, Bush, the time that my daughter grew up in, every job, you need to present documentation, you need to prove it. And you know what? I can't go get a beer in this state unless the people actually know me, because I've been in there 15 times, without showing them a driver's license that proves I'm 21. I look like
Kevin, I'm going to take the over on the 15.
Over on the 15?
Over on the 15 times you've been there. I'm going to say 25 easy.
Yeah, but they started to recognize him at 15.
Ah. I'm sure he was very quiet.
Yeah, sure I was.
Hey, I got a quick caddy story for you. One of my guy I played softball with forever, and his dad's, actually the partner in a firm, PTI, he used to caddy out at Bobolink, and still, I think, once in a while. That's Ditka's course. Huge gambling. They don't even have a rate that you're supposed to get for the 18 holes, or at least they didn't. And they'd come get their caddy, and if Ditka didn't like his caddy, he'd like drive the caddy back after two holes and say, give me somebody else.
But, well,
get a load of this, Kevin. Each guy has a cart in the foursome, and they're all playing as fast as they can, and each guy's got like two bags full of clubs. I mean, the idea of the 14 club rule doesn't apply, but dudes are still putting. And the other guys are teeing off, and if they lose their ball, they bitch at you because you're putting the pin back.
He goes,
it was the most stressful 3.5 hours of your life. He goes, you made a fortune, especially if you helped the lie every now and then, if you know what I mean. He goes, you made a fortune, because it was like being a surgeon. It was like talking about a stressful day. It's not like some carrying some lady's bag and she's bumping it down the fairway. He goes, these guys are nuts. Anyway.
Let me go back to where we were, though, because when you use terms like enemies, all you're doing is you're not helping the argument, and you're just kind of charging it with some.
No, I'm not. If all of a sudden
Let me finish. Let me finish the thought, and then you can tell me what you think. I fully understand why someone who perhaps lives in Guatemala and it's they're dirt poor and they have to work incredibly hard every day of their lives just to make ends meet. I get it, and I don't consider them people enemies, and I understand why they might want to come to this country and see if they can find a better economic situation. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem, however, with not enforcing immigration law. I do have a problem with people not following immigration law and sneaking into the country, because I think if you lose control of the border like that, that you also lose control with a lot of bad guys that come in too. And I think if you lose control of that, you also lose control of federal, state, and local budgets. Chicago has spent what, $800 million on immigration, with the immigration flood that they've admitted to, and yet the budget is so bleeped up that they're doing everything they can to figure out what they're going to do about it. I don't need to call people enemies to realize that this is not a good situation.
But you want me to call the police on my Polish cleaning lady if I can't?
No,
better.
I did not tell you to call the police. I did.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
However, that you properly screen. What you can do is you can ask for the proper identification when you hire her, and you can if E-Verify's available to you, go ahead and use E-Verify. If that system breaks down, you're not responsible.
Why are so many people here for so many years that are part of society that want to be citizens and aren't?
Because to a large degree, if they wanted to be citizens, they could go through the process, but they haven't. And Chief, I know people who were brought here as children, okay, one in particular, who did exactly that, went through the entire process. And it is a serious pain in the ass. And by the way, it should be a pain in the ass. But it is a pain in the ass, and she went through it, and she became a citizen. And I helped her go through her paperwork at the end of, towards the end of the process when she was going for the final interviews, because one of the things you have to prove is that you were never a public charge, that you never took public benefits you weren't entitled to, and that you paid your taxes, all right? And you have to prove that. It's your job to keep those records and present them.
Maybe
and
we should boot people out. There are citizens that don't do that.
Well, guess what? If you're a citizen, you start out as a citizen, we throw you in jail for not paying your taxes, or we can fine the hell out of you. But what we can't do is revoke citizenship because you started as one. But if you want to become a citizen, you have to prove these things. And it absolutely can be done. But you know why a lot of people don't want to do it? Because they did cheat. They did take public benefits. They did do things that they weren't supposed to do. And they know that if they try to go through the process, they're going to get caught and they're going to get thrown out.
So we're going to demand somebody who to become a citizen has to be a perfect citizen, but anybody here doesn't.
No, we're saying, now hold on a minute. You can still get busted for not paying your taxes as a citizen.
It comes down to, you're not going to get any argument out of me that if 15 drug guys come flying across the border, I'd sure as hell like to catch them and not let them in. I mean, but how far do you go here on this?
The way you go is that if your first act, your very first act coming into the United States is to break the law. We're not talking about civil infractions. We're talking about criminal acts. Your very first act in entering into the United States is to do that. And by the way, if you've been deported and you come back in unlawfully, it's a felony. It's not a minor offense. It's a felony.
We've had Bill Moriarty on the show a few times, and he still has his, since he's on the San Antonio Engineering Board, where hell he's on, he still has his toe in the water on a lot of this stuff. He says you can't, most of the contractors down in the Texas area, you can't give them another job because you're pulling their workers off from them, maybe like the place in Georgia. He said some of these guys maybe have a work visa that's expired, whatever it is. The fact is they're their best workers, and the guys pay their Social Security. So why can't we find a way to make them citizens?
But why should they, if they came here illegally and they broke the law, you're telling me that they should just get a pass? So if I go rob a bank and get away with it for 10 years,
came here,
I should get a pass.
A lot of people like Musk came here illegally and just didn't go home.
That is an offense.
Okay.
By the way, when he went for citizens, then people like Elon that did this, then they go to get a permanent residency permit and ultimately their citizenship, and they lied, which by the way is a felony, and we're supposed to excuse it. And you want to know why
you've never lied on an application in your life? Anybody, when they fill out an application for PTI and you ask what your net worth is, that if somebody has $30 million, doesn't put down five?
Now, wait a minute. There is a difference, Chief. In
what do you do when somebody does that, Tom?
What?
What do you do when somebody does that?
How would I ever know? Five seems like a lot. What am I supposed to do?
No. What happens when they get caught?
What do you mean when they get caught?
Well, let's assume they get caught. What happens when they get caught?
So if I go down,
it's no big deal.
If they invite me to their house And it looks like the guy might have more than 5 mil. What do I do? Call that head of the SEC? No, I don't.
No. Hold on a minute. I'm not talking about, we thought maybe. Okay. Because that's, that's Elon, right? Until you discover it, that he got away with it, right?
People get caught lying on their applications all the time, lying on their resumes all the time, after hired, and they get fired.
Yep.
Out of all the stuff that's going on in this country, I really can't believe you guys are kind of hung up on this, because people have had trouble getting citizenships like forever. My grandfather was 20 years. He was here. I mean, it was years and years ago, obviously.
Chief, look, like I said, I've helped somebody go through this process. I know it's a 5-alarm pain in the ass. If the process is wrong, fix the process. The answer to process that you think needs to be reformed is not to cheat.
Okay.
And going back to the original thing, whether it's for citizenship or not, the amount of abusive labor practices, and this is where we are not sending people to jail, and we must, but the amount of abusive labor practice that exists in the world with people who are in the country illegally is over the top. I know it here because I talk to a whole lot of people in Elkhart County, and they're very concerned about people they know who are being forced to work overtime, for example, and it's off book overtime, and they're told, if you don't like it, that's fine. You can either quit because I have the leverage on you, or some even threaten to turn them over to INS if they don't comply. And so I say, I need some overtime. You're going to work it, and tough luck if you don't like
it. Companies that are doing that,
a lot of people getting substandard wages, below market wages because they can, and because they don't get to bitch about it. They don't have union support or anything like that, because they have nobody working on their behalf. They're completely on their own, and some employers are very benevolent. They don't care who the worker is. They're very good with them, and some employers just treat the people who are in the country illegally like dirt, and they do it because they can.
Biggest people used to do that were like rich country clubs.
It's all over.
They should be going to jail with every raid, I am foursquare in favor of that, but I am not in favor of a system that is built as is for that kind of stuff to happen.
Whenever people start demanding 100% honesty,
these are not the enemy, Tom. They're the people who are getting abused.
I don't see any of that up here. They're making union wage or more because nobody get anybody else. I'm sure it's around. I mean, I'm with you on that. It's probably someplace.
They're undercutting the wages, and it shows up in the
chief. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think the whole H-1B thing is about?
The only thing we're arguing about is the intensity of which you think this is the world's biggest problem. It's not.
Here's the thing that I don't get. All right. It's not a big deal that there's 25 million people in this country working that are not legally authorized to do it, and by the way, displacing 25 million Americans.
Which, that part I don't buy at all. Go ahead.
You're wrong, Chief. You're wrong about that.
No, I'm not. Go ahead.
Yes, you are. And by the way, the only reason that this doesn't lead to immediate riots is because the answer the government has to it is hand out your cash and my cash to those people who are on the couch so that they don't have to go out and get a job. And those people are being displaced because it is cheaper. That's the only reason it's happening.
There was, for some reason, before COVID, probably longer than that, maybe like 10, 12 years ago in my hood, everybody decided they were going to have their house remodeled. Of course, I was doing it in my place, but these guys were all Russian. Yeah. Of all things. And so I said to the guy one day, and there was this big hue and cry, a couple guys like you, oh man, we got all these like Russian carpenters all over the place. And the dude goes, I said to him, are you guys kind of worried about this at all? The guy goes, I'm not worried at all. He goes, there's nobody here that wants this job. If it was, I'd be happy to go. By the way, they want me to come to London. I'll make more there. He goes, I don't see anybody, any American citizen here clamoring for this job. There's nobody here. He goes, I'm making union scale and then some because they can't get anybody. He goes, well, you don't want me out of here? I'm out of here to London tomorrow. I'll go get a first-class ticket. See ya.
Well, as I said, the reason that happens, you know, look, there was just this thing that went around, all right? All these people screaming about the changes in SNAP benefits, all right? These are people who literally structured their life around having six kids. Now, remember, this was something Clinton put a stop to.
That's a whole different program, which is a big problem. I mean, you're not getting
any
argument
of that. By the way, $4,000 a month. Would you get off your butt and go put a roof on a house if you could make $4,000 a month sitting around?
There's a lot the government has done. By the way, it's pretty much outlined in their Kerner report in like 1970.
The idea
of making a permanent underclass.
And you know what? They've done a really nice job of it, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, the one thing, boy, if I could even say this, the one thing that we all sort of agree on, I think, although somebody will disagree with me, is that I seem to recall, and boy, I don't know, I've got to find some old attorney somewhere, that way back in the day, maybe like when Kevin and I were in college, there used to be something where if Congress passed a bill, I don't know, it was a big bill, little bill, whatever, that there was a almost like a legislative review of the thing. Was it 4 years, Kevin? Five? Somewhere along the line, if it was anything innovative, it demanded almost like a review to say, are we getting anywhere the place we want to go, or are we making things worse? And I don't know if that was a gentleman's agreement, whether it was actually a House or Senate rule, or whether it was what it was, but it seems to me all of that has stopped.
Well, it sounds like that's the CBO scoring stuff, which still does happen.
I'm not talking about just the money. I'm talking about the intent.
Oh, well, yeah, good luck with that ever happening.
Well, I mean, clearly, somehow the welfare system, they haven't done all of it, but somewhere along the line, it has contributed to the total disbanding of the black family. And hasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah. So you're talking unintended consequences, probably unintended.
Yeah, I would hope they're unintended.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't. Boy, who'd decide they want to break up families? I don't.
Someone who thinks that there's an economic benefit to them to do it.
I don't know if anybody's that smart.
The way this all ties together, though, and I do want to go back to something I said earlier, but the way it all ties together is it's the same argument about the CDC that we're having about the immigration process that we could have about any number of things, and so it comes up on unintended consequences, or maybe call it collateral damage because we don't care about collateral damage in some cases. But, you know, many of these arguments you're making about, well, what about this person? And how does it benefit some person? It's, you're just like that college basketball coach who's defending a system that is, you know, indefensible, and trying to do it, anecdotally and talk about, you know, the good that it does. Yeah, there are always some people who benefit from it, but who benefits the most from it is the question. And in the cases of college athletics over the years, who benefited the most? The universities themselves. They had they had the cheapest labor of all. No salary.
Do you think across the line, Kevin, if you take the places that were how much of this, well, use a term, how much of this was psychic income? Do you honestly think that below the top 20, 30
teams... What's psychic income and can I spend it?
Some people think they can spend it.
Okay.
People thinking you're a big shot, even if you're not. Who was the guy in The Godfather that Vito killed? What was his name? Finucci? Look at the psychic income he had, even though he wasn't really a big shot, was he? I'm just saying, but how many schools do you think
handled the bullet the same way everybody else did?
Yeah, but how did how many colleges do you think actually, how much do you think Notre Dame made off it in 1964? It's better having it than not having it, but down the line, how many schools do you think actually made any money on it?
Don't know. Haven't seen the financial statements on it, but I do know.
I mean, the NCAA, do you think DePaul made any dough in it? Maybe when they went to the NIT way back in the day with and made, got some money out of, you know, the Madison Square Garden or something. It probably was somewhat accretive, but I don't know. I mean,
somewhere along the line, somebody realized that there was a lot of money in it. And as I used to tell you all the time before they actually had payrolls, that you know, Title IX was worth it. People would squawk about Title IX at times, but it was worth it to them because by funding all of the scholarships for all of the sports, they were still so much lower than they were still running about 40% of the salary cap of the NFL while running a professional sports franchise. Now, you know, to me, there was a really strong realization there that that if they were able to maintain their employment model, that they would be in really good shape financially. And that's, you know, I think we've seen that break down over the years. So I don't know how many are making money at it now and will continue to make money at it going forward. But I do know that when we look back, you know, and we were talking about this at the time, we talked about this on the show all the time, that we had people in an abusive employment model that did not compensate the athletes in a way that recognized that it reflected the economic value that they created for the schools. It did not in any way reflect the revenue that came in for them.
Kevin, you're the guy.
So we saw that and we talked about that all the time. And the reason is, and so, you know, it was well worth it for the schools to have to put up with coming up with funding for the women's tennis team, the women's programs in general. It was well worth it because they didn't have to pay much for their football team.
The only sport that I say was really abusive, right? Use that term the full way, in my mind, was football, because they didn't pay for any of the injuries after people left. But I don't think that in 1978 somebody going on a basketball ride was abused. I love to play basketball, and he got an education. I don't think he was abused at all. Do you?
Well, he could get an education as long as the school was willing to give you an education. But I do remember that when we talked about an education, to give you an example, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, during the Tarkanian years, you know how many people graduated from UNLV during those years?
Well, could they have?
Could they have? Well, it depends. I know people who were discouraged from taking certain curriculum, even at Notre Dame. I know people who were discouraged from taking anything that had labs, because labs were in the afternoon, and so if they had to go to labs, they were going to miss practice a couple times a week. So they were very, very discouraged from doing that.
At least in the fall, for sure.
Yeah. So you would run into those kinds of issues. Yeah, one guy graduated from UNLV during Tarkanian's time. That was Danny Tarkanian.
Okay, so. But basketball, when you say abuse, people chose not to take, for whatever reason, what was given to them. I mean, it's not like if somebody went to class, Sartain would go yank him out. I don't think.
There were absolutely, and you know, a lot of the programs did like having that one guy that they could show you, you know, that they could get on, do a little snippet report on TV when they were on TV, showing that one guy who's benefiting from the college basketball experience, because that sort of justifies the rest of it.
Well, you know, and I don't know if I've ever told you this story. Dr. J's dad was a real good friend of mine. I really liked him. I mean, the major surgeon guy. The Giants' dad is a huge man, and he loved football. And he played at Cal Berkeley, but he was in med school. And the coach basically told him, John, when you can help us out at practice or you can make it to a game and don't have labs, we'd love to have you. And he would show up a couple days a week, and he'd go play on Saturday. And if there was a big lab on Saturday, he'd be, like, late for the game. But coach said, When you can help us, we'd love to have you. Talk about a different world, huh?
Yeah, those days ended, though. Those days went away.
But I know I...
Those days went away the more money there was in the sport. I remember that it was a big deal celebration at Notre Dame in the athletic department the first time, that because they became the first school to get a $1 million payout from a bowl game.
Well, they only
What's
got...
the payout now?
I don't know. They only got... The first year they went, I remember this, because they justified not having gone to a bowl. Carl, you probably don't know this, but the Irish went to the Rose Bowl. God, Kevin, what year? 1920-something?
1925.
They didn't go to a bowl game again until 1971.
Oh, wow.
Or it was January 1971, January 1st, because I actually went down there to play in the Cotton Bowl. And the justification was they were going to make $300,000, and they put the $300,000 in a special thing for minority educations, because at that time Notre Dame was pretty much lily white, and they said, no, we want to have more more people of different color and race here, and $300,000 went, that was the initial shot into the scholarship pool, wasn't it, Kevin?
Right, and the reason they didn't go, and they were very public about it, the reason they didn't go is because they wanted football to end before finals. They wanted the athlete, they cared that the athletes would do well on their finals, and that would get in the way of the academic side of the house by going to a bowl game. And they even won a national championship or 23 or however, five along the way without going to a bowl game. So that's how they justified it. But by the same token, I also suspect that they wanted to compete for national championships, and when that became untenable without going to a bowl game, suddenly we were willing to go to a bowl game.
Well, there was one of the polls. Matter of fact, you see, if you look at the, was it 1973, right? They beat Alabama. Alabama was still, count 73 as being number one in the polls, because there was the AP and was the, who's the other one, Kevin?
I think the AP you stand at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, but who's the other one?
UPI.
Yeah, one of them ended at the end of the regular season. So Alabama still was ranked number one in one of the polls, and it's on their list of number one years, even though they lost in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, Alabama's really good at counting all kinds of national championships.
But you know, I was—I don't know if you guys saw the thing.
But we're kind of veering off.
But no, see, Kevin, whenever you talk about money,
and the reason I want to pull this back is because I have to go. So, it's systems. You know, people may have a lot of altruistic reasons for buying into the system. Some do, some don't. Some are total cynics. Some, they're all over the place. But those aren't the reasons that we do things. You can't justify a corrupt system by saying, well, it does good for this one person. That's not, it's not really the point. And we have to clean it up. We have to have some order to this.
I mean, when I say why, Kevin, I don't want anybody here, but we have, nobody wants the kind of enforcement and anything that you guys are talking about. Nobody wants the second you go over 65 for somebody to pull you over. I mean, you're talking about 90% enforcement on a problem where 10% of the people are the problem. That's where I'm coming from on this. I mean, do I want the people going 100 miles an hour and then Orion pulled over and lose their car? Yeah, because they're liable to kill my niece. But if somebody's going 65 and a 55 and it looks like they're being careful, do I want 90% of the law enforcement hooked on speeders going down the street? No. You guys are acting like you want 90% of what we do here, chasing people that never caused a problem. There's the people that have caused a problem, yes. But, I mean, how far do you want to go with this?
So, again, if I'm the guy that has figured out how to skim a fraction of a penny off everybody's savings account in their passbook and not get caught, and I don't get caught, I haven't caused anybody a problem.
I didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
I said there is, when doing anything, whatever it is, law enforcement, trading, you name it, there's money you put towards something and you can get something like 30% of the way there with a little bit of dough. And when you're trying to get 100%, you're looking for 100% compliance on people that have been here 30 years. You're looking for raids on people's houses. You're looking for me to call up somebody because my Polish cleaning lady may or may not be a citizen. That's what you're saying.
No, Chief, I'm looking for an 80% solution to the problem for 10% of the cost, which is what we can have. And today we have 0% of the solution, and we are throwing the money away. And on top of that, it's the cost is not negligible.
Well,
your argument is that the cost is negligible. It is not.
The basic part on this, and maybe we'll get somebody here who'll be nameless. A person who comes here gets a Social Security card, and they may never going to get Social Security. They're never going to get Medicare, and yet they're paying in. They're not the screwer. They're the screwee.
Yeah, well, they are very much victims, whether they know it or not. Yeah, there are a lot of victims along the way. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, but there's also a choice that goes with that, a choice to participate in the system knowing you're not going to get Social Security because you have fake Social Security
card. How come our bozo Doge guys barrel into Social Security and they come out with some stupid stories about people that have a number, they're 140 years old? By the way, nobody gets paid over 120. That's a hard and fast rule because there aren't anybody over 120. So there were people, when I first got into business, I knew all the restaurant people down here. They would tell me stories of people would come in with a Social Security card where all the numbers are zeros.
Yeah, well, that's obviously BS.
But I mean, the checks went to the government. They never came back. Nobody ever called and said, hey, you know, what's his name?
So you're telling me that guy that came in there with the Social Security card that was all zeros, that the owner of the restaurant didn't know that guy was using a bogus
card? All zeros is some people. At one point, I read how many were there. If you come in with a fake card, and it's Carl Denninger hot dogs, I don't know what it is now, but 30 years ago, you sent the thing in with, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or something is the card. They never called you. They never sent the check back. There was no account, yet they took the check.
You know what? If you tried to come into my company when I ran the place...
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Social Security people.
I'm saying if you came in there and you filled out a 99 and your number was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you did not get hired.
Let's just for a moment, too, when you look at the all zeros thing, How does that really happen? It's because nobody plugs the number in, and the default value is zeros. Nobody shows up with a Social Security card zeros.
I'll do some research on it.
Because nobody put in the data in the first place, and you should not be able to do that. That should be a requirement.
Somebody, it was a long, long time ago article, Kevin. I probably just started down here, so it was the early 80s. Somebody did some kind of a stuff like Carl would do. I mean, a thing on Social Security. And they went through how many people had the number all zeros, how many people had this and that. It was like reading the funny papers.
Chief, I know, but you know what? I had a guy that came in, tried to get a job with me one time, that filled out and claimed 13 exemptions. This was back, you know. Now the form hasn't. You can't.
Was he a basketball player?
He did not get hired.
All right,
but I had somebody that tried that.
But now, okay, if he was a center on your basketball team, you'd hire him.
No. see, that's the difference. All right. But I had somebody who actually tried that. He actually attempted to essentially gimmick zero withholding, okay, by doing this. Now, today, by the way, one of the things that Trump did during his first term is that's gone now, in that you don't claim exemptions anymore. Okay, you put in your marital status, whatever, and that's it. But the tables have changed, and I have some people that...
How do you not put exemptions in?
The form doesn't have that box anymore.
Well, it's supposed to be how many kids, if somebody's blind, how do you get it in there?
But I'm saying it's not, you cannot do what people used to occasionally do, which is claim this stupid number of exemptions. You can't do it anymore.
Okay.
It's been revised.
I got to jump off, so right. I will be listening for the employment numbers. So
yep.
I'll
All right, thanks, Kevin. Have a good weekend, buddy. Should be nice weather again, eh?
Looks like it.
All right. Well, I mean, the weird part, Carl, is now, you know, we're zeroing in on people. When I was actually took taxes and used to do some people's taxes back in the 70s.
Right.
And if you had something where you had a big deduction, like if you were a like a traveling salesman or something, and you spend a boatload on gasoline or something, or
right.
things like that, and every year you were getting this money back, and you really didn't want those guys to be your savings account, at least especially back when interest rates were 15%. What people would tell you to do is claim two more deductions.
Yeah, but so you can't do it. All right, but the W-4 doesn't have that on there anymore.
Okay.
So here's what this was changed. This is one of the things that got changed originally. Okay. Now it just has your name, address, whatever. Single or married filing separately, married filing joint, or qualifying surviving spouse, head of household. So you got three boxes. Okay. And then if you're a multiple job holder, there's a checkbox for if you have multiple jobs, if there's only two jobs in total, you check the box, and then you're supposed to do it on the other one, too, okay? And then your dependent credits, your total income is less than 200 grand as a single person. I mean, they change that number every year, which is why this form gets revised. Multiply the number of qualifying children under age 17 by 2,000, multiply the other dependents by 500, add it up, put it down to other adjustments if you want to withhold more money because, right?
Yeah.
You can put those numbers in there.
Oh, you actually got to give them the number?
Yeah, you actually have to give them the number.
Okay.
If you want extra extra tax withheld each pay period, you have to put it in there in box four. There's four.
Well, can you do less?
Well, not really. So it's, here's the thing.
All right, so if you and I walk in, I'm single or just have a wife, no kids. You got seven kids. They're going to take the same amount of both our stuff. Why?
Okay, no, because you've got the number of qualifying children under 17, okay, multiplied by 2,000. So if you have seven kids, that's 14 grand.
All right.
Okay, so that number goes in there, but this goes into the employer's tax computation stuff. So, but it's not the number of withholding allowances like it used to be.
Okay.
It's different.
Sort of gets you to the same place, sort of.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, it's way more, here's the thing, it's way more accurate. So when all this stuff actually went into effect, it was during the first year after, when Trump left office, these changes went into effect right around the time he left, okay, because it was, it had to go through Congress and everything else, right? So I had some friends of mine that, I pay for the PC version of TurboTax every year, and you can file five federal returns with that. Well, I use one, my daughter uses one, and I got three more. And when my mom was alive, we used to use it to do hers and to stuff like this. Well, okay, so I got a couple of friends of mine that they come over, they bring over their W-2 and do it on the computer. Well, the first year this thing changes, they're like, wait a minute, I used to get $4,000 back, now I'm getting, $50. and I said, yeah, you're getting $50 because you had less withheld throughout the year, which you've been spending at the bar. Okay? That if you're over withheld, you're giving the government a free loan for the for the year because you don't get paid on the interest on that.
Well, it used to make the difference when there was interest.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but you didn't get anything back. I mean, now, if you underpay, you get penalized and you have to pay them. But overpaying doesn't do you any good. And so, but they were outraged. I'm like, and then I'd look at like the total amount that they actually had withheld over the year from their taxes, and it was less by about the difference.
Well, my,
I'm like, look, you already got the money.
I know somebody who was doing taxes during a COVID thing or something, so
yeah.
nothing better to do. They're helping people out with their taxes after Trump's first tax bill. And just enough of an example, I got some Trumpers, obviously, on the show. Anybody believes the guy, whatever. But everybody thought their taxes were going to go way down.
Oh, and they did not. No.
They did not.
They did not.
And so everybody was in like 2% of the year before, especially, and this is what, I think, people sort of need to realize, and not to read, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe me or not, but it a lot of this stuff starts out as a scrunch,
right?
And when you start having inflation like we're having, and we seem to want a lot more, and I can't,
but yeah, go figure, right?
But we have a guy in charge who is in the absolute epicenter of who inflation benefits.
Yeah,
And he's a dude that likes to benefit himself. I mean, anybody can argue with me.
Who doesn't?
Well, not to that extent, I don't think. But guess what? The mortgage at Doral is a hell of a lot cheaper if the inflation is 50% this year compared to the room rates, right? Because your mortgage is fixed and the room rates aren't.
Well, it's the old saying, assets are always a matter of what someone's willing to give you. Liabilities are always known to the penny.
I will bet you, Carl, and I don't know, but it's been said. Remember that from Office Center Gentleman? I will bet you that even some of the richest landowners today in Germany were people that benefited from the Weimar Republic in the 20s and were able to buy up farms and pay off their mortgages during the inflation, now own all this property they never should have.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always... any time that you have this kind of a dislocation sort of policy that gets into place and gets embedded, and like I said, the biggest... I've become convinced over the years. I didn't used to believe this. I do now. The reason this stuff always seems to go one direction, and it's in many different forms. The illegal immigration issue, the healthcare issues, the CDC, the NIH, all of this. And people are like, oh, well, that was just, COVID. Everyone was freaked out. And we're like, no, this goes back 40 years. It is not just COVID. By the way, Vioxx, hello. Okay.
Can I insult you?
Well, go right ahead.
And this is not really an insult.
It goes back more than that.
No. mentally, you're showing, because I have the same thing, Carl. And I'm trying to agree again. It's not. I think I'm fairly bright. I mean, obviously, if you are fairly bright, all you think about is the stuff you don't know, not the stuff you do, right?
Right.
It's only the people who maybe think they're geniuses, think they know everything. Well, obviously, you don't. I mean, it's we don't know the answer to any really big question, do we? But the point being is, what you're espousing is exactly what I feel. Now, you don't clench or anything over there. you've seen this happen time and time again, sort of in a random pattern where there's a policy, it looks like it was well-meaning, and then maybe it didn't work out, and then 10 years later there's some other problem, and there's a policy that was well-meaning and didn't work out, and all of a sudden you and I sit there after 40 years of this and go, wait a minute, every time this happens, the same people seem to benefit, and the same people seem to get it stuck where the sun don't shine, and we sense a pattern.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly, I don't usually say anything more better than you do, but is that about what you were trying to say?
Well, that it's, yeah, that there's a pattern to it, and then what I, the question you always ask is, okay, what's the mechanism, right? Because it's spread across so many different areas, whether it's the illegal employment thing, whether it's the healthcare thing, whether it's, all these different areas of the economy, right? The whole climate change, nonsense, the push for solar subsidies and all this other stuff. And it always, what I've come to understand now, 40 years ago when I was still rather wet behind the ears, I saw the screwings, right? Yeah. Some of them went up my backside, but I didn't see the pattern because I didn't have the lived experience to detect the pattern.
Me too. I'm saying the same, me too. And all of a sudden it kind of... Yeah. A couple of years ago, at about the 10th time, I'm going, wait a minute, this is like the same record going around and around again.
Yeah, and the thing is that what I found is that after looking at this, it's the same playbook, and the politicians have figured out what this is along with large industry. It's the same thing that just happened with Google, okay? Flood the zone in a way that the impact of the unlawful thing you did is so large that if you take it back out, people will not tolerate it.
Right.
All right. So the fact that it was illegal becomes irrelevant. And this is the thing that gets me. I was fuming when I saw this Google settlement.
Yeah.
Okay. Because these guys, they were part of the group that literally forced my voice off the advertising supported side of the world during the COVID crazy. They were part of the group that literally did that. All right. And that was a criminal act. If it was done purely by a private party, it's not, because private parties can choose what they want to do. But it wasn't purely a private party action. It was taken in direct concert and direct connection with the Biden administration, and that's a criminal act. That's a felony.
But if it wouldn't have been the Biden administration, Google's now up the ass of the Trump administration.
Well, but the point is, if it's done in concert with a government entity, it's a felony. 18 U.S.C. 242, deprivation of rights under color of law or authority, it's a crime.
Carl, in terms of my business, it probably was the worst thing I ever did, but in terms of my advancement in seeing the world, my two terms on the board of the CBOE were like three other graduate classes. When you see the inner dynamics of a boardroom and the people and what you just talked about, we're reaching the point where we're way past the point where whatever the laws are, no matter how many people are getting screwed, no matter what it is, I mean, you could not, if you could have, pick a name, well, pick Bear Stearns, because they, you know, they're out of business. But they were never one of the real worst ones at this. But people who like to go around the trading floor and abuse the rules, for instance, on a, everything's supposed to be open outcry, right? And so they, you say, okay, 20-30 call spread, where are you? Everybody will go 4.5, 4.75, 4.5, 4.625. We're going to pay 4.875, and we want half.
Yeah.
So it's their customer, like they're screwing, right? And you sit there and go, no, if you take part of it, you sort of you're like Nucky in Boardwalk Avenue. You become in half a gangster. So nobody really wanted to do that because everybody wanted the place to be clean. But these guys, there were people that did this, or were taking it to another exchange, that kind of thing. But so you hear about some of this stuff, and you get in the boardroom, and they go, well, wait a minute, the Bear Stearns guy's sitting on the board right next to you. And maybe if you had a decent chairman, which we sort of did, I might take the Bear Stearns guy aside and go, hey, you know, you got to talk to your guys. I don't even think that ever happened. But the idea that all of a sudden one day the Wall Street Journal is Bear Stearns suspended from CBOE trading for a week and has to pay, you know, even if it's a $5,000 fine, you had the power over these people. But over period of time, you sort of didn't. They were bigger than the regulators.
Well, that's the
You're seeing right now.
Right, it is. And this is, you know, I mean, you look at what's going on with, you know, with this stuff with the employment report that's about to come out, right? By the way, just so you know, I got some flash traffic that says that the BLS is having some kind of technical problem. So who knows what this is going to mean. At the moment, their site is up.
It means that Trump doesn't like it.
Well, it means that maybe they're doing a little cooking behind the...
Well, why don't we go to break so whatever they're doing, we can catch it when it comes.
That SP sounds reasonable.
SP Futures up 6, NASDAQ Futures on 114. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, don't fake Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Mahal. Ricky on the board. Lutnick predicts better job number accuracy after Trump fired BLS other guy. That's just swell. SP Futures up 3, NASDAQ Futures up 107. Dow Futures up 14. There's no point in flying around the rest of the world because they're all going to change here in a second. But I will give some of the stuff. Gold's up $1.30 after being down, still over 36.08. We've got oil down 74 cents, 62.74. That's not going anywhere. Foreign exchange, which shouldn't change too much. Dollar is 116, or the euro's almost back up to 117. British pound almost back up to 135, so the dollar's actually down a little bit. Ricky, why don't you give us a quick stuff, and then we'll get back to Carl because these numbers are about to come out.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chief. It's currently 729 here in beautiful Chicago. 60 degrees right now with a high of 67. Windy with intervals of clouds and sun. Tonight will be breezy, otherwise partly cloudy and cool. Phoenix, Arizona, 79 degrees right now with a high of 96. Intervals of clouds and sun with a thunderstorm around this afternoon. Watch out for flash flooding. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 80 degrees. Traffic in Chicago, in McHenry from Monroe, we're looking at 27 minutes. Edens from Lake Cook, 44 minutes. Eisenhower from Wolf, 40 minutes. Dan Ryan from 95th, 28 minutes. And lastly, Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 48 minutes. Let's talk about MLB. White Sox won yesterday, 11-8. They beat the Twins, and today we got Nationals at Cubs, 1:20 p.m. White Sox at Tigers, 5:40 p.m. And Red Sox at Diamondbacks, 8:40 p.m. Lastly, NFL. This Sunday, we have Cardinals at Saints at 12 p.m. And Monday, September 8th, Vikings at Bears. Back to you guys.
The Carl actually was sent out yet. The
No, we got 30 seconds.
We got some of my Trumpers I try and talk to once in a while, and when the last guy got fired, they were all over it. The numbers are wrong. I said, you know, if you're off by 200,000 people by month, not off in terms of total, you know how many people we're talking about? No, how many? I said, like 270 million. Yeah. What percentage do you think that is? Doesn't matter. They're paying this guy for the numbers to be right.
Here's the thing is that the history is that these numbers are frequently way off on revisions when there's an inflection point happening. And so
yes.
This does bode badly for...
I couldn't have gone into that in this conversation, Carl. It would have been... They wouldn't have known an inflection point.
It is out, plus 22.
Well, that's not so
basically,
good.
That's basically nothing, right?
It was supposed to be what, 75?
The ADP, who knows? ADP is, So it says a gain in health care was partially offset by losses in federal government mining, quarrying, oil, and gas extraction. And the formal unemployment rate ticked up one. It was 4.2, it's 4.3. Let me pick up these numbers from the A1 non-seasonally adjusted.
I've got the household up like 200,000.
Well, give me a second. Let me plug these in because you know I do my own thing with that.
Oh, I know, I know.
Adjusted. So I, you know, and I, yeah, and I hate to say something until, See, I got a negative number here. Let me see how bad it's -511.
Why would there be such a massive adjustment in the July to August number?
Well, this is Chief. There. If you go off the unadjusted figures, there isn't this. That's
I understand, but I'm saying what. Why would I? I mean, I can understand a December number or something like that, but why would there be that big?
Because there's when you have inflection points, what happens? And I know Trump's, they hate me. Blah, 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 blah. The reality is that when there's inflection points, the birth death adjustment, the imputed change that the Labor Department puts into these things, is essentially a smoothing average attempt. And it's what they're trying to do, okay? They're trying to smooth the spikes out that normally happen because every year...
But there used to be reasons for them. People would go to work...
Chief, you hire for Christmas, you lay off afterwards, right? I mean, well, it happens every year.
Do we think there's still some vestige of kids actually having summer jobs?
Now that's the other thing, too, is that used to be a very legitimate thing, and then we started hiring all these J-1s to come in instead of doing those jobs in tourist areas. Okay, so, if you go up into northern Michigan, up near Mackinac, all right, there are exactly two places you can go get food and beverages that are actually run by and have all employees as Americans. Two.
Well, I mean, I...
And all the rest are J-1s.
When I was young, that was not true. But we never went back to college the day after Labor Day. So I can have a job till Labor Day. Now kids are going back in second week of August.
Chief, I get that. But I'm saying that used to be, you used to have that summer employment, right? And it was legitimate.
Plus it paid for beers. It paid for beers.
Well, yes, it did. And it also, you could work your way through school without having to take debt by doing that plus working part-time during the year. You can't do that anymore. All right, so the incentive for college students to do this has gone away because it isn't going to make any difference.
All right, so Trump is probably already beating up on Powell.
I'm sure he's already screaming, but let's see.
We got S&P futures up 12, NASDAQ futures up 144, we got gold up like $30.
Yeah, well, there was a, you know, a big on the 5 minute, there was a fairly, you know, it was like a 25 point range in there, but it's headed back up, kind of really not much different than what it was in the overnight, right? I mean, we're still in that same zone, so it doesn't look like whatever the market thought was already priced in, you know, over the last few days. Duh, you know, they all think the Fed is going to come to the rescue of everybody. I'm not sure exactly how this rescues anything. But by the way, that 12-month population-adjusted number, which, you know, is one that I know I talk about a lot, that is still -3.2 million. Okay, it was -3.38.
Which one are you looking at? The 274.
This was not in the this was not in the table. You got a computer.
Right.
That is the 12-month change in employment, with the 12-month change in working age population adjusted back out. Okay, so basically the idea here, the reason that I've always found this to be of great value, is that when this number goes negative on a 12-month or greater basis and has a negative slope, and that's, you know, it's continuing to get worse, it has been 100% predictive. Now, this is, of course, only, you know, over the last 25 years I've been tracking it. Was 100% predictive of a severe economic dislocation a la 2000, a la 2007, 2008. Okay.
Okay. So, for those that have money, have managed their own money, have people manage them for them, or people like me who manage money, Carl, there's other variables.
Look, I'm not saying.
No, help me with this here, because I need some help. This variable, this new variable, it's not like there weren't enough variables in investing money in it, in stocks and valuations and all that stuff before. This, the new variable that if we go into, and I'm going to call COVID a depression economically. Hell, nobody worked, right?
Didn't last long enough.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is,
neither did 1920 and 21, but that's why.
The message we've now delivered is we're going to get old school guys like probably you and me. Although
we're not going to let that happen.
Well,
right.
If all of a sudden working's not doing so hot, spending's not doing so hot, you know, by the way, there might be a little inflation, which should send these long-term rates up a lot higher. We have got clearly a pattern over the last 7 or 8 years, and a president who's all for it. We're going to pour money into the system, and if we go into a horrible recession in the next 2 years, I'm not convinced the market won't be higher.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I'm asking you. I mean,
I don't see how that works, because
it worked in the Weimar.
It also gave rise to Hitler. Let's not go there. Okay?
Well, I'm saying, but it Argentina stock market up, Venezuela stock market up, Turkey stock market up.
Yeah, and by the way, in all of those cases, all right, including Weimar, with the exception of the 0.1% who made out really well, right? Because, you know,
all the farmers still own their farms, right?
Well, like I said, there certainly were people who you know did all right, okay, but for the vast majority of people, even though you had very substantial gains in the markets, you did not keep up, and if you were a working age schlub, you got buried anyway.
Well, there weren't that many people involved in the market.
But most people got buried. And
yes.
The reason is that while the market will go up, the problem is you can only invest your economic surplus in the market. You can't invest all of what you make.
Right.
And as a result, the only way that you can make that work is to take a crazy amount of leverage on your positions. And if you're wrong, you're going to be destroyed.
Okay,
you're not going to lose money. You're going to be ruined.
When everybody, I'm guessing an awful lot of listenership has no friggin' idea what I'm talking about. Ask yourself. If we double the amount of money in the system, and every time you walked into the Federal Reserve with a $10 bill, you walked out with a $20, ask yourself what happens to everything. If I owed Carl $20, if I'm not a total ass, I now owe him $40, right?
Right.
If I'm making $50 a day, I better be making $100. because the price of bread just went from $2 a loaf to $4. Well, the market's going to do the same thing.
Right.
And
But the problem is I can only invest my surplus in the market.
The problem is only a few people relatively are in the market.
Well, and those people who can, most people who can, now there are those who you know, don't have that limitation because they're Elon Musk. They have that kind of money, right?
Well, if you're retired and you've been sailing along on some of the stuff and you've got $5 million in the market or four, and mm-hmm. there are some stocks that aren't total dogs, and tomorrow your house is priced twice as much and your car is twice as much, and oh, by the way, your market is now 10, you're pretty much even.
Well, are you? Because here's the problem. Your house is priced twice as much.
I said if everything actually doubled, everybody's even. It's like a stock. It's like a stock split. But that's the point. It never happens. Some people make out.
That's right. That's not what happens.
Yes.
Right. And so, I mean, it's a nice fantasy. But it's kind of like expecting
I never said it was a window. I never said it was a fantasy. What I said was, everybody would understand. If we just doubled everybody's dough right now, everything would just double. But we don't. We do it a little at a time, and only certain people benefit.
Only certain people get it. Everyone else gets it in the butt.
Right.
So here's the other thing, though, that's interesting about this. I'm looking at the internals while we're talking. So we've had this trend where people with bachelor's degrees in some college really haven't gotten any, they've lost ground, over the last year or so. On a pretty consistent basis, everyone in that ratio in that set at this point is essentially unch, except people with high school graduates but no college. Now that spike usually comes in the June report because people graduate from high school. Okay, here we have a pretty. I mean, it's a hells, it's 1.1%. It's a big move upward in the employment population ratio among that cohort. Now, that is a very interesting change.
Right, which were you looking at? Which one there?
This is table A4. This is the educational attainment one. This is the marker of the economy being hollowed out for people both at the bottom and at the top, and essentially, the middle class getting screwed, all right, for all intents and purposes. And here is this is a very substantial. Now it's 1 month, so it doesn't mean a huge amount, right? And there was a big drop last month. And if you look at it like on a 12-month basis, August 24, August 25, in the high school graduate area, employment population ratio is unch. But for the last year, it has been trending downward. It's been trending negative. Where people get with just high school education.
Right, you're looking at I have two on my dummy page here. One is the total population, and then the population that's working is in the working area. That's gone in the last year. That's gone from 62.7 to 62.3, which is, I think, what you're talking about is lousy. And if you look at the next number is if you pull the unemployed out of it. It's 60 to 59.6. Both of those are down 4 percentage points. That's horrible, right?
59.6 is the total, and that is a screaming danger sign. All right, and then the other thing that's interesting is that we had 826,000 people start couch surfing last month.
Okay, this thing has that down 200,000.
Well, that's adjusted.
Okay.
I'm NSA on all of these. Okay, but it's now it was -100 last month, and now it's +826. So it's bouncing all over the place.
Are we still? You're the only guy who can ask this question. Are the powers to be still cheating on the unemployment number that the minute you roll off the check?
Absolutely. But here's cheating.
There's no adjust to that though. It's just.
No, and here's the thing, though.
Explain what we're talking about here, because
All right, so basically what the BLS does is you're only unemployed if you're on unemployment. Okay? To be on unemployment, you must certify, and nowadays you actually have to, show your work to some extent anyway, that you are actively looking for work. When you roll off that unemployment check, you're not getting a check anymore, you're presumed, if there's, you know, unless there's evidence otherwise, you're presumed to have left the labor force.
So if you're one of these guys that, or ladies, gets laid off and decide that you're the time for your around the world tour, you are
unemployed.
You're considered looking for work, and if the stuff rolls out and you're working, you're looking for a job even harder, you roll off.
And it's actually a hard, it would be a hard problem to solve in a way that was statistically defensible, right? Because how do you know? I mean, now when you're on unemployment, there is a statistically defensible way to do it, because in order to keep getting your check, you have to certify that.
I
understand. People cheat all the time, okay? I'm just saying that you're supposed to, all right? I mean, at least assuming people aren't cheating, duh,
yeah.
Right? But there's at least some defensibility to it. There isn't beyond that. But it's, you know, the unadjusted number is neg 511, Chief. It's neg half a million. For employed,
that's
in the household.
So there's a 700,000 adjustment.
It's neg 511.
And these guys got a positive 260.
Well, 163,799 to 163,288. You tell me.
These guys went 163,106 to 163,394. But I mean, you know what, Carl? And this has kind of nothing to do with, you know, people in office, except people like to lie all the time when they're there, and that's a both sides thing. I've always, many times on the show, I've explained that in my opinion, that when the economy is going good, more business are being created, and
then they're picking up. Yeah,
that it's actually when it shows growth, or there is growth, there's actually more growth than the numbers let you know. Same way as then the other way. Well, now right now, what you just said about the people looking for work, I'm going to say probably way more people have gotten their last check, and even if they are looking, haven't got a job because the number is 25 and it used to be 250 in jobs per month. So, I mean, it's got to be harder to get a job now. So I'm saying that the unemployment number, to me, is the people actively looking is probably higher than the 7.3 I'm looking at.
Well, probably, but there's another thing. So there's another aspect to this too, which is that and this tends to be truth, which is weekly hours and overtime. Okay, and that's simply because if you're working under 40, and you're full time, I would rather take you from 35 to 37 than hire somebody else.
Right.
Okay. I'd rather spread that across there. It's cheaper. It not only that, I have no training expense because you already know how to do the job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So generally, the sensitivity on hours is greater than the sensitivity in job numbers. And they're unch from last month to this, both in goods and services. There's some minor differences from one category, you know, one particular group of people to another within the table. But the headline number in both goods producing and service producing is essentially unch. You're down one tick, one tenth in goods producing, but the overall is an unchanged at 34.2. And the same is true for overtime. And again, that one's important too. And that's only in manufacturing is the only place they do that. But that's unch as well. And again, overtime is one of those things that when that starts to hit, now I start thinking about picking people up, because overtime costs me a fair bit of money. That's time and a half.
What do you make of this? Two things. One, I want to mention it, as I've had this discussion with people. When you talk about the unemployment rate, again, in my opinion, pretty useless number. But we're talking about out of 110,500,000 people that aren't working, where we identified 7.3 is actually looking.
Well, I got 102,966 of, you know, that are not in labor force. So yeah, so people say there's nobody who could actually do those jobs. Well, yes, there is. There's 100 million of them.
Well, there's 103 too. But the
yeah,
but the other piece of this is that how does this affect? And you're my numbers guy here. One of the guys on the show works for Cane's, the chicken joint, one of the chicken joints.
Right.
They're down to like 5-hour shifts on people. So
well, that's not showing up in this data.
Well, this is they've just gone.
No, I'm not saying they're not.
Okay,
my
question
yeah.
is, if all of a sudden they're busy, and they work another 2 hours or come in an extra day, I guess they're doing good, and the chicken business is booming. It's not going to show up anywhere traditionally. Like, when somebody used to tell you 10 years ago, I make $20 an hour, I'd immediately go, okay, that's $800 a week.
Right.
Well, now that's...
It's not true.
It's not necessarily true. How much has that... And actually, this is a long time ago. Well, not that long ago, but I was talking to somebody at the Walmart down in Portage. And the guy says to me, well, no, I once in a while, if it's like really, really slow on a Wednesday, they'll tell a couple people not to come in on Thursday.
Yeah, they'll cut people, yeah.
And I go, how the hell do you pay your rent or your car payment on that? How do you even know what you're going to make? He goes, tell me about it. It's like, but how much of that is, quote, happening, and how does it affect what you just talked about? Where in our day, 1 hour extra, if you work 41, you got paid for it and it got counted. Now, right. if your week is 35 and you work two extra, how does anybody even know?
It's in the data. It is.
Was that considered overtime? Why?
Well, no. It's going to be in your hours worked, and it's also going to be in the size of your check. So it's going to show up.
But it's not time and a half.
No, but it's going to.
Okay, I get it.
Your average weekly payrolls, and yeah, I mean, so that's that's still in that data. It's there.
But if somebody said, "Did anybody work overtime?" The answer is no, because they didn't get paid for overtime.
Well, that's right. But the thing is that I'm not seeing. That's across the economy. I'm not seeing that softness. Okay, it's not in the data. It's not there. Is it happening individually? Well, I'm sure it is, and it always does to somebody, right? I mean, but on the other hand, there's someone that's getting an extra 2 hours somewhere else, right? Because that's what the data says, that the work week it's unch, okay. And the hourly rate has, of course, gone up with, some with inflation. And the hourly checks are going up, which means, roughly the same rate, which means that people are actually working the hours that they say they're working, because otherwise your check would be smaller.
Right.
It's not. The other thing that I find rather interesting, though, is that across the last year, we've put about a million and a half, about 1.5 million people on the disability rolls. And now this is people in the non-institutional population. And of that, about half of them are working.
Carol, what happens if somebody, kind of two questions. I'll ask the first one I thought of first. I've heard anecdotally a couple people on BBM and so forth talk about how the hirings out of college aren't as many recruiters on campus and blah, blah, blah. Is that showing up in the numbers or not? Or is that just BS?
No, not really. And that's, because that would show up in the, persons with a bachelor's degree, right? Because, you're coming out of college, there you are. All right. So over the last year or so, there's been, there was that slump in that area, and it's actually been a post-COVID phenomenon, and of course that leads to a lot of questions, like are these people that took clot shots and they're screwed and they can't work, is that why they're out, or is it is this just simply that the what used to be kind of the hollow out of the middle class is now reaching up into the people with more education. All right, and that's the argument a lot of people have tried to make over the last year or so. AI is going to take every job that that exists, right? You're all going to be screwed. Sorry, you got $200,000 worth of.
Well, I just heard there's a couple even in stuff like engineering, there isn't the clamor to grab people out of the Ohio States of the world and stuff like there used to be. I mean, it could be down. So I'm saying, is it down 1%, 2%, or none? I mean, I don't see
a substantial delta in this data that tells me that's going on. Okay, I'm not saying that there isn't some of it. You're not seeing this situation where there's crisis level problems of that sort. And the other thing is that the hype that has been sold to people on this whole thing with so-called generative AI. It's not showing up in the labor data.
Okay.
All right. Now, if it's real, now my suspicion is it's not real for a lot of reasons. All right. I think that bubble is going to blow up in everybody's face, and people are at this point, you know, they're Wile E. Coyote and they're off the cliff. And it's, well, as long as we don't believe in gravity, it's not going to happen.
Well, I have okay. Two,
we'll see how that works for you.
Two anecdotal things from people, you know, kind of around. My nephew's in the metal service business, and he said a couple of months ago, everything kind of hit a little bit of a wall where nobody's really getting laid off, but there's no overtime, no Saturdays, no real rush right. jobs.
That's what I see.
And Audrey was saying that in the last, if you're trying to sell your house for at the tippy top, you missed it by about 6 weeks. All of a sudden, there's just a little bit of, it's not like Florida, Georgia, Texas where they're going down, but she goes, you can just tell that there's been a little bit of a tone change and that maybe the buyer's in charge a little more now than the seller.
Around here, I can tell you that if you were trying to get the tippy top dollar, you're 6 to 12 months back.
Okay, she says it just happened a couple months ago.
Yeah, you definitely are hosed if you were relying on being able to do that here.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a close call. I can tell you, because I watch, you know, I look at what's up for sale and what's sold. I look at it every day, and in this county. And now this county is not a microcosm of the world at large, because it's very heavily tourist, you know, Airbnbs and things like this, right? So there's basically two markets here, even though of course they're not presented that way by the realty sites. There's the short-term rental stuff, and then there's the actual residence stuff. And the short-term rentals are absolutely in the tank in terms of actually transactions. Right? I mean, people are still dreaming and wishing with what they're asking, but they ain't getting any bites. On the residence side, the problem is that you've got trash, and then you got people that are just the inventory disappeared because they can't get their asking price, so they expire or they get pulled, and as a result, there's this paucity going on. But you know, the reality, Chief, is that in this area, the 100,000 plus a year jobs are relative rarities. Okay, well, guess what? If your median income that you can expect to get in a particular area is, you know, 65, 70, right? You're not buying a $400,000 house.
Well, with certain people that I hang around with, like in real estate and so forth, they didn't want to hear this in 2007. They want to hear it now. I can't find it, Carl, but you know what I'm talking about. Some dude wrote a real serious article regarding housing prices at the time and people's ability to afford them.
Yeah.
And this is 2007. And basically the numbers were, still remember this, the median house was around $235,000. And so if somebody gave you the down payment,
right,
of $45,000, well, you're down to, what, $190,000, right, is your mortgage. They said all in on the mortgage. The mortgage rates were probably where they are here, 6.5%.
Yeah, about that.
If you're all in on the mortgage and your taxes and your insurance, you need, you know, if it's a single person, which used to be, one person was the breadwinner and one wasn't, you needed $85,000 to carry that house. So the guy went through a list of people saying, okay, if you're in the restaurant business, you're making 20 maybe.
Right.
and basically a regular, you know, this is not a disparagement of anybody, if you're a regular stiff taking the L downtown for a clerical job in a cubicle, you're 45 plus or minus.
Yeah, 45 or 50. Yeah.
And if you were in a hospital with a pretty good job, not, you know, not a doctor, not a huge administrator, but you're doing tests or you're doing this, that, or the other thing, you're 65.
Right.
Which, you know, 2007, you wouldn't say it was a horrible job or anything like that.
No.
So basically 85% of the population, even in a city like Chicago, which at the time was doing pretty good, can't afford. Now you can add the spouse there, there's ways you can finagle this, cannot afford the median house.
Right.
Because this is just plain danger. And now how it played out with the money from Japan and all the other kind of crap and the mortgage, you know, whatever those things were, the big portfolios, how it played out was you know, basically a disaster. But the numbers were there.
Right.
Now, if you take those same numbers right now, The median house
is way worse.
Yeah, way worse. The median house is 410. So if the mortgage is 330, that's essentially almost double. Not quite. So say you need 180 grand. That's assuming that your taxes haven't gone up by a factor of three, which I think they have.
And they have, by the way, power is more expensive, and so is everything
else. Well, yeah, that was never kind of in it. But I'm saying even the
insurance
has got to be up four times.
Right, the insurance costs have skyrocketed. Right.
So I'm gonna guess that 8% of the population now, 10% maybe, can afford the median house. Well.
That's the point, Chief, is that I look at the stuff around here, and I'm like, you know, I understand what the problem is. The problem is the jobs to support these prices don't exist.
But you know what? Okay. You know what supports them? And Audrey has a, you know, Audrey does a terrific job. I mean, she's really, really good. I mean, I'll tell you what, a real estate person, if ever you want to be part psychologist and part everything else, because it's such a massive transaction. But Aud knows her crap. She knows what makes a place look good for the seller. I mean, she's able to point out to the buyer, you know, this one's that, this is kind of what you're looking for, and I mean, she's just good at it. And she would say that most of her business in the last 2-3 years, and she's been real busy, has been people trading houses.
Yeah,
almost everything is a cash transaction, where a retired couple sells the house they bought for 80 grand for 400. And they buy a townhouse for $375 because they're downsized. That kind of stuff. It's all cash flying back and forth. I mean, the couple who maybe have a couple where the guy's in the trades and the girl's a nurse, they might actually have saved up some dough. But if you got student loans on other kind of crap, good luck. The 28-year-old's going in affording a $400,000 house or four and a quarter. Good luck to you. I mean,
The problem, though, with it, you know, I mean, it's like, well, when I sold my place in Florida, I moved up here. Okay, that was you know, a cash transaction, right?
Yeah.
But you buy a bubble and sell a bubble. You haven't changed your position.
No.
You got more than you should have, but you paid more than you should have.
So it's like buying the 60 calls in June and sell them in May.
It's for all intents and purposes, it's an unch transaction.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that if you made too much on it from your basis, you get to pay taxes on it too.
But
short of that, you know, it really doesn't change your position, your net position. But the problem with this is that these transactions leave behind. Okay, now there's a house that somebody ultimately, eventually, that is coming up that is younger, has to buy that other place.
Right.
Maybe not today, but eventually that has to happen. And those people have to be able to afford that. And if they can't, then this will work its way back through the system and those prices will come down because, I can put whatever offer I want out there, but if nobody hits it.
Well, the only thing that's driving it to where people almost can't eat because they have to live is the price of rents are to the moon.
Well, yeah, and you know what? A lot of that is because we are not a nation of modest-sized landlords anymore. It's all gone corporate and hedge fund-driven.
Well, I've heard we got a dashboard. I remember the story of I've been reading how this drop in prices in Texas is sticking BlackRock right up the behind because they were big investors down there.
Well, good for them. And you know what? There's a bunch of people here that bought into the crazy during the time when things were closed in the short-term rentals, and I'm starting to see foreclosures show up now because they did it with leverage, and oops, guess what? The revenue ain't there.
Hey, you know, a lab just went out there, sent it out to me, as we, you know, Kevin and I joust all the time about the colleges, not joust, we try to educate on it, and the football and the money and all this kind of, still, we talked about, you know, Notre Dame in my era, you know, and you couldn't pay an assistant coach over like 50 grand, and I think Arab made like 60. You know, so right. I mean, it was a whole. We can say it was always the same way, but it really wasn't. I mean, in terms of, you know, it's like saying, you know, it's the same. Dick Butkus made 60 grand a year, and the guy makes, you know, 20 million. It's the same. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. But the weird part is, even North Carolina, with all this crap with Belichick and. Of course, he got his ass kicked the other night, and he's got the girlfriend going to meetings on something weird. The budget, when you talk about the $80 million or whatever it is, the football team has to make because they got to have the dough, pounding the table. The budget of the University of North Carolina is almost $4.8 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get $20 million on the agenda of the board, for God's sake. That is, Kevin asked me what the definition of psychic income is. That's it.
Chief, the craziness around here with the UT program and Hopel and all the, oh my God. All right, and of course, everyone's laughing because Nico blew up in the in his so-called debut too, right? And, you know, hey, maybe you shouldn't have been such a, you know, such an attempt to go grab some more cash because, oh, by the way, not only did you lose money and get taxed on it, but you ain't throwing so good over there.
Anyway, have a good weekend. You guys gonna have good weather, too. It's supposed to be beautiful up here.
Oh, we've got my daughter and I are doing a race down in Townsend. We're dragging the RV down there and having some fun and probably going to get drunk all weekend on top of it after we get done running. So, yeah.
Right,
and it looks like the weather will actually hold out for us. So
good
that
for you.
Nice.
SP Futures up 27. NASDAQ Futures up 216. We had gold way up. We have 30-year rates down around a 4.73.
They went through. This is, yeah. The market's reaction to this is just makes you scratch your hair.
Well, I whatever. If we start pouring money in the system, I guess interest rates will go down. But boy, I don't know.
I'll tell you what. If they do that, if I think we get the IRX says we get 25. You know, at the meeting. Okay, if we get 50, or if they try to play games with it, I think the long end's going to explode.
I think we're going to get something next week.
Well, we'll see.
All right, but
I think we get to 25. I mean, that's what the IRX is saying happens.
All right. Well, we'll. We'll see you, Ricky. Nice job. Next week, Monday, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.